Dave and Darren are about to give you their top five things. Why am I talking in the third person like I'm not Dave? I don't know. I don't know why I do half the stuff I do.
I'm Gary Owens.
Hello, friends from downtown Burbank. Here's Dave and Darren with the top five things. You ever been to downtown Burbank?
I have not.
I spent some time in Burbank, Illinois, but that doesn't cut it.
Where's Burbank, Illinois?
Not far from where I grew up, friend.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. South side. South burbs. Welcome to the top five things. This is a collection of the very best things that we did on our morning show, which you can hear on Planet 93.9 FM or online at planet939.com if you want to listen to it live. It's probably just easier to listen to the podcast, and that way you get the best of the best, but I don't know. I think we do a pretty damn good job on the morning show, too. So,
well, you might even want to become a patron if you do that. Then you'll have access to everything we've ever done, including we just recently did a patron-only show for the month of February. That happens at least once a month. And then we also have access to everything we've done over the course of the last 6.5 years. Hmm. It's a lot.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
people enjoy it.
You can go to nachoradio.com or daveanddarren.com to make that happen. This podcast brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. They will sit down with you and discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions, if you'd like to check those out, are answered at the website. That's ntillinois.com.
And we begin.
Number one.
Number one.
When's the last time you got the clubs out and played golf? You haven't done it in a while, have you?
It's been quite a while.
Yeah, we should do that this like spring or summer. Go out and have some golf time.
Hit the ball around?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, have you and I ever golfed together?
Yeah.
I don't have any memories of that.
Sure we have. What are you talking about?
I mean,
we used to do the, was Jason's Box?
Right. Okay, we did that one.
Craig DeVries in a dress.
That's right. We always had to, he always dressed up like a lady for some reason. No judgment, Craig. Live your truth.
And then we played out at the Arsenal when you hit the goose.
That's right. Okay, now it's all coming back to me. That's right. One of the reasons I think I'm not any good at golf, but I'm a good guy to golf with. Do you agree or disagree with them?
No, you're fine. Those statements? For someone who struggles as much as you do,
it's true.
You don't ever let it get to you.
No, that's my secret.
Yeah,
I don't. I have fun when I'm golfing.
Yeah,
I don't care about any of it. If I'm out there just having a good time, drinking a couple beers, walking around getting some sunshine, it's none of my business how things go.
Maybe smoking a cigar, getting sick.
Yeah, well, that is. That's happened too. It's true.
Struggling.
I really shouldn't be smoking cigars.
No, it's not really my thing.
It's not my thing.
Yeah, I've got asthma. I'll give you asthma. But I just don't get that emotionally involved in it, and if something goes really well, I think that's terrific. If it goes poorly, that's just fine too. I get my balls in a big sack, used balls, so that when I lose them, and I will, I don't care. Sometimes you get saddled with somebody who wants to spend forever looking for a ball, and it's like, no, I'll just drop. It's fine. Well, no, I think it's over here. The ball cost me 45 cents. And I'm ready to move on.
And we're 50 yards ahead of where that ball went.
Right.
You're kind of overestimating how far you think you hit that ball into the woods.
There is that, too. But I don't care when I lose a ball. I that's my least favorite thing to do is to look for it. If I hit it on the fairway and I'm able to find it, well, that's like a little bonus, right? There's a story here from, Florida, of course.
Where they golf.
A guy dead, drowned after searching for a ball in a pond. Hermelio Jesmines, 74 years old, died Sunday after deputies found him in a pond at the East Lake Woodlands Country Club. According to investigators, he teed off at hole number 3 around 7:37 on Sunday morning.
Couldn't get past the third hole, huh?
My brother used to break in our house and steal the TV.
But now he's dead.
He didn't make it to hole 4.
You know, I was out at the course today, and I have to admit, I played pretty well myself.
We got a dead guy at a golf course. Somebody needs to be asking O.J. Simpson some questions. A friend he was golfing with last saw him looking for the ball on the green.
I don't know. I don't know why it is that I have this in my head that if you're going to die looking for a golf ball,
yeah,
it's later in the round.
Yes.
You know?
That should be like a 16th hole situation. Right,
not the third one.
Hole 3.
I just got back from the golf course where I actually played pretty well.
Might have drowned a guy in a pond. Could have happened. I've cut the heads off of 2 people. His friend said he was golfing when he saw him looking for the ball on the green. The golf cart was parked on the cart path and his putter was found lying on the ground near the water. His friend couldn't find him, so deputies were called in to help locate the missing golfer. Deputies and members of the fire department searched the nearby wooded area and the edge of the pond. That's when the Palm County Sheriff's Office dive team had to join the search.
I wonder how many foursomes asked if they could play through. This could take a while. Hey, what's going on? We lost Bill. Mind if we play through?
Well,
I guess that's the only thing we can do.
We think Hermelio might be at the bottom of the pond.
Because you
that sucks for him, but I'm having the round of my life. Of course, we're only 3 holes in.
I've two birdies. I've never started around that way.
I imagine Hermelio is looking down and smiling, or looking up from the bottom of the pond. I don't know how it works.
Think there's any chance that that's going to stop the other foursomes from playing? Not a chance.
They found him submerged in the water, not far from where his putter was. He was pronounced dead on the scene. Investigators say the evidence suggests he may have fallen into the water and drowned. Deputies say that when they talked to his friends, Jesmines used to like to search the course for lost golf balls. So, like, did he find his and then think, as long as I'm here, I'll look for some other treasures?
There are those.
I wouldn't put up with that.
Scavengers.
The medical examiner's office will now conduct an autopsy to figure out exactly what happened to him. But they say there's nothing suspicious about this guy found dead.
Idiotic, not suspicious.
And this is not a Florida golfer who was eaten by an alligator at a pond.
Although I suppose
this is just a guy who fell in and drowned.
I suppose he could have had a heart attack.
That's a heck of a time to have it. Have a grabber right there on hole 3 and just fall into the drink while you're looking for golf balls.
Possible.
Well, so now the spin that you put on this, if your friends and family, is, well, he died doing what he loved, right? Hermelio, at least we could say he died playing golf, game he loved so well.
Trying to find a golf ball that's worth 50 cents, if that.
I've got a little poem that I'd like to read in honor of this occasion, if I may.
Spalding, get your foot out the boat.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat. Okay, Pookie, do the honors.
Go ahead, Pookie. Dredge the pond. Get his body out of the bottom of the pond, Pookie. He died doing what he loved, being cheap. Oh, man. Well, you know, thoughts and prayers going out to the family.
Listen, we are what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, he got all of that one.
Number 2.
Two.
What about being an archaeologist when I was growing up? That's because I thought being an archaeologist would be like being Indiana Jones. And then when I did just a little bit of research on being an archaeologist,
found out
I realized
it was a little drier than that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not running around and being cool. It's, you know, sitting in a hole in the earth and hoping to find something. It just, you know, I could see it being interesting, but I could also see it being more boring than anything.
I wonder if there is a crush on numbers that you didn't make your numbers this month.
For being an archaeologist?
Right.
Like,
oh, boy.
Found nothing.
They're busting my hump.
They've made what they say is an exceptional discovery at Pompeii. They have uncovered an intact ceremonial chariot from a villa near the site there at Pompeii. A fabulous chariot, Darren. They call it an extraordinary find that has no parallel in Italy thus far. It's preserved, this chariot, in remarkable detail.
For adults?
Four iron wheels, metal armrests and backrests, and a seat perched atop that could sit one or two people. Chariot is adorned with metal medallions depicting satyrs, nymphs, and cupids, suggesting the possibility that this might have been the chariot you got into when you were married. Like, it's the just married chariot.
Let me take a look at that a little closer.
They got to do some work on it. It doesn't look...
It looks more like a walker.
Professor, University of Massachusetts, Eric Poehler. University of Massachusetts, please. He says he was astounded. Quote, many of the vehicles I'd written about before are your standard station wagon or vehicle for taking the kids to soccer, but this is a Lamborghini. This is an outright fancy, fancy car. Archaeologists very excited to make this announcement over the weekend. Sophie Hay, the University of Cambridge, says, still wrapping my head around this latest incredible discovery.
See, now you find that, you're probably good for what? 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
If not longer? I found the chariot.
I got the Lamborghini out of Pompeii. Pompeii, the subject of fascination for hundreds of years, buried in volcanic ash when Mount Vesuvius blew up nearly 2,000 years ago. According to Italian authorities, this chariot survived the eruption and the intervening years because it was stored inside a portico. The eruption caused the walls and ceiling around it to collapse under the weight of the volcanic ash. In recent years, looters have been digging tunnels on either side, but miraculously, they say this chariot was spared.
Oh, those Pompeii looters. They are the worst.
They say it's an extraordinary discovery for the advancement of our knowledge of the ancient world. Closer to home, they've discovered a guy in Texas who died 1,000 to 1,400 years ago. A man from the lower Pecos Canyonlands in Texas. And they found this dude, and they figured out that he likely died of constipation.
Struggling.
After an investigation into his mummified bones, they figured out that this guy probably was eating grasshoppers.
By the bucketsful.
To get rid of some disease. Like, that was the treatment. Oh, you're constipated? Have a bucket full of grasshoppers.
Don't bite them, just swallow them.
This guy might have died again 1,000 to 1,400 years ago.
Of grasshopper poisoning.
And they figured out that he suffered from an illness called Chagas. A parasite causes this illness. His digestive system was blocked due to the disease, which caused his colon to swell up to 6 times its usual size.
6 times?
No. Rectum damn near killed him.
His colon, not his rectum.
Do I look bloated? I feel bloated.
This disease is called the megacolon. Wow. He was unable to digest food properly because he was suffering from Chagas.
How does my megacolon look in these pants? Does it make me look fat?
Scientists believe that he would have eventually become malnourished as a result of the disease.
Yeah, you're more colon than man.
So weak that he couldn't do simple things like walking or bathing or sitting by himself. Yeah, sitting on a, when you've got a colon that's six times your regular size can't be a treat, right? Scientists say that this guy's legs were amputated. And they say it's possible that a family member or friend was feeding this guy grasshoppers to give him a little bit of relief.
How is that relief?
No, thanks. Yeah, I know. This guy had a mega colon and, you know, they chopped his legs off. They say that they cut his legs off, so they were mostly giving him a fluid-rich body of the grasshopper, the squishable part, very high in moisture and also very high in protein. In the early stages of his mega colon experience, it would have been easier for him to feed on grasshoppers.
And you say you wanted to live 1,400 years ago.
Yeah, they cut off my legs, and now I just sit here and eat bugs with my colon that's six times the size. But at least I'll get to rest in peace. I don't have to worry about people digging up my bones a thousand years from now.
Oh, I'm running out of diapers.
Chagas. I had never heard of this. Died of constipation as a reactionary measure of eating the grasshopper. Yeah,
like,
they'll back you up.
Would you like another grasshopper?
No, I couldn't possibly. Maybe just one more.
It's waffa thin.
Maybe I'll just have one more. And then, no matter what I tell you, don't feed me any more grasshoppers. Promise. Promise you won't feed me any more grasshoppers. I'll just take a couple more, though, and then I'm done. Then I'm giving them up. I'm quitting cold turkey. Where are my grasshoppers? I'm so hungry. It's all I can eat because of my mega colon.
Number three.
Darren, I know you're excited to get back into the chair here for another thrilling installment of Florida. No, Florida.
Now, here's the thing. I think we will probably soon, well, not that we run out of material from Florida.
Never.
But I know that more will be coming our way because a buddy of mine who is celebrating a birthday today.
Oh?
Is moving to Florida for some strange reason.
Hmm.
And he will no doubt, as soon as he gets there, be a Florida man.
Well,
and I'm sure we'll be hearing from him very, very soon.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to get acclimated to Florida and become Florida man.
On this very segment.
Yeah, they claim you pretty readily down there. Let's spin the wheel and see where it lands, Darren. Florida, no Florida. Again, if you're joining us for the first time, I have two stories. I will read the stories, and Darren's job will be to determine which one is from the state of Florida and which one is not. Florida, no Florida. We begin, Darren, with the story of some copper thieves. Wanted to rob $30,000 worth of copper wiring. These thieves attempted to pull off a very odd heist in plain sight by posing as the nighttime construction crew. And it might have worked.
Yes, we're the construction crew, nighttime.
It might have worked if the cops hadn't been wise to the scheme because of a previous copper theft. Five men dressed in hard hats and fluorescent vests, all looking for all the world like an actual road crew, began working at a manhole around midnight on Sunday. They yanked the wire belonging to AT&T out of a hole, loaded it onto a trailer, and drove away. They were soon stopped by the cops, though, according to this arrest report. A officer was suspicious of the crew, called AT&T and confirmed that no work crew was supposed to be at the site at that time at night. I mean, midnight on Sunday is an odd time to be working on wiring, right? The scheme had two main steps. First, the thieves cut the wire, and then they capped it, preventing damage from being noticed by AT&T. A few days later, when all seemed safe, they returned to collect the cut wire. So these five men have all been arrested. They're facing charges including theft and criminal mischief. On the black market, this copper wire would be worth about $30,000.
Nice haul.
And damages exceed $50,000. So there's that story, all right? That's story number one.
Mm-hmm.
Story number two, A woman arrested after officials say she stole her neighbor's goat and painted the goat without permission. Erica Marie Farmer arrested for the goat theft.
I didn't know that I needed permission.
She also faces a theft of property second degree charge. The theft of any livestock falls under the felony guideline. Bond set at $6,000. This woman, Erica Farmer, according to deputies, removed the goat from her neighbor's property and brought it to her house to show her kid. At some point, she decided to paint the animal and post pictures of it to social media. They say when the goat's owner discovered the animal was missing, they called a different neighbor to say, "Hey, have you seen the goat?" And at that time, the neighbor said, "Yeah, there's pictures of your goat. It's been painted and posted all over social media.
You need to put a stop to this."
That's when the goat's owner called authorities. Deputies say the goat was still at the suspect's house when the deputies arrived.
I just wanted to show my kid your kid. And we're having a good time.
So, Darren, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock. It's your job now to tell us. Florida. No, Florida.
Is it okay if I cheat?
No, it's not okay if you cheat.
I'm just asking. I'm going to say that, and I really would love to come back next week as the defending champion.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do my very best.
Yeah, I like your chances no matter what happens.
I hope I get to come back. I'm going to say that the goat story is your Florida story.
That's the Florida story. And...
no!
Oh, Darren, a rare miss from you on Florida, no Florida.
But I cheated.
Baldwin County, Alabama is where this happened. Now, that's very close to Florida. It's a Gulf Shores woman. It's Florida adjacent. I'll grant you that. But the goat thief was from Alabama, and the copper thieves were from Hempstead, Florida. Well, so the copper thieves were the Florida story this time around, Darren.
Well, I guess you don't have me to kick around anymore.
Florida!
Do I get a copy of the board game?
You get the home game that you can take home and do better next time, Darren. And that, friends, has been...
kisses for everyone.
No Florida.
Big kisses. For those of you on the video stream. You savages.
Number four. Britain's National Lottery is joining forces with a brewery to create a beer. And the beer is called Just the Ticket. And they're doing this because they're hoping they can find the winner of an unclaimed jackpot worth $1.4 million. Lottery officials reached out to this brew house over there called Backyard Brew House to produce 100 bottles of a blonde ale to find the winner of the Euro Millions Millionaire Maker jackpot before the ticket expires.
So it will expire.
Yes, in fact, on March 17th.
And how much was it that you won?
$1.4 million.
Boy, this seems like they're going out of their way.
Well, are they, though? Because they're only making 100 bottles.
But still.
The ticket was purchased at a store in September of last year, but the winner has not yet come forward. National Lottery senior winner's advisor says, with the deadline to claim the prize is less than a month away, it really is a case of urging the Euro Millions players to dig out and check their tickets before it's too late.
And they're doing that with this promotion.
Yeah, they're doing 100 bottles of Just the Ticket.
And that's going to get people's attention.
I guess. I mean, we're talking about it, so maybe they're talking about it over there. They say, "We hope this Just the Ticket beer will help spread the message and ultimately help unite the missing winner with their life-changing prize."
But if it doesn't,
well, then
it goes back in the kitty.
Right? Right?
Seems like you're making a lot of noise.
I'll never understand people who win the lottery and then don't know that they have the winning ticket. I will never understand the amount
Do you think that it's ever happened that someone played the lottery, won, knew they won, and then thought, I can't do it.
I don't want to do
it. I can't do it.
Yeah. I don't want to do this. It would change my life too greatly.
Too drastically.
Yeah. I imagine that. That's
it's happened. Had to have happened, right?
Where somebody was just so terrified.
Freaked out by $10 million.
Right.
They'll never leave me alone.
Right. I thought, well, you would think people, though, wouldn't play. I mean, the whole fantasy is that you win the money.
No, I want the fantasy. I don't want the reality.
I like
and
having
I
the
and I can't,
dream of
I
it.
I can't have the dream. I can't have the fantasy if I don't play, mm-hmm. if I don't actually buy a ticket.
A couple of years ago, there was a winning lottery ticket for $14.6 million that went unclaimed.
Here?
In Arizona.
In Arizona.
Yes, somebody won $14.6 million
maybe
in the Arizona lottery. This was back in 2019. Ticket was sold in Goodyear, Arizona on June 5th. They had until December 2nd to claim the prize, and they did not claim the prize. All you have to do is sign the back of your ticket and go to one of the Arizona lottery offices, and that was too much work for somebody to do. And maybe it was somebody who bought the ticket and then dropped dead. I don't know.
Are you saying that because it's Arizona?
In the maybe. I mean, they are a little elderly. 2017, I can tell you the number for 2017. How much money do you think went unclaimed in lottery prizes in the 12 months that comprised June 2017?
In
2017.
In the U.S.
Yeah, in the United States, how much money went unclaimed in 2017, unclaimed lottery prizes?
Okay, so there's going to be some that aren't necessarily huge, but they count.
The all-time winner was a $77 million winning ticket somebody bought 10 years ago in Georgia. Never claimed the prize. $77 million. Never claimed it.
Couldn't do it. I can't do it.
Probably just bought the ticket and put it in a glove box and forgot about it,
too
right?
Too much money.
$77 million some dummy in Georgia won and never went and got it.
Okay,
but in the course of a year, how much money goes unclaimed in lottery prizes when you look at all lotteries across the United States of America?
$50 million.
The answer is, Darren, $2.89 billion.
Oh, brother.
$2.89 billion a year goes unclaimed. Holy cow.
Well, that'll keep you in business.
That's a heck of a business model.
No kidding.
$2 billion in total prize money goes unclaimed every year.
How much money a year do you think doesn't get redeemed from gift cards?
That's why gift cards are so profitable. It's the number.
Because what is the number of what we purchase using gift cards?
Yeah.
And then what goes unused? They have to be huge numbers.
Yeah. No, gift cards make a lot of money for people that sell gift cards. What percentage of gift cards never get used, or you don't use the full thing,
or
right?
You don't use the full thing, right? Because even if it's a situation where you've got the gift card, say it's a $50 gift card,
right,
and you used $40 or whatever, and they just,
25% of adults in the United States have let a gift card expire at some point.
Okay.
22% of us have
lost. Is that still a thing? Can they still expire?
I
thought they changed the law on that.
They can't expire? That might vary from state to state.
That could be.
It says 22% of us have lost a gift card, and over half of us have held on to an unused gift card for more than a year. Every year in the United States, $3 billion worth of gift cards go unused. Mm. $3 billion of gift cards go unused every year. Retailers are thrilled with that.
Sure.
$3 billion, they get, they don't have to.
They took your money.
By law, gift cards cannot expire for at least 5 years from the date of issuance.
Okay, so it's 5 years.
So they can put an expiration date on it. But yeah, 5 years is what they can do. Some gift cards have inactivity fees, where if you don't use it, then they start shaving stuff off the gift card.
Right, but I thought that was illegal.
It's not.
I thought they changed that.
And again, that might vary by state, but they can give you a penalty for not using the card in a timely manner. I know I've had that happen. Where it was like a $50 gift card, and they said, "Well, no, you only have $43 on it." I never used it.
I thought they put a stop to that, though.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm looking at a CNBC article from, well, this is from 2020. Mm. So maybe something's changed in the not too distant future here. But yeah, here's an article from December of 2020. $3 billion unused on gift cards and more than $2 billion a year in lottery tickets that win and you just don't go and claim your money. We spend $100 billion on gift cards every year in the United States.
$100 billion.
$100 billion. And of that $100 billion, $3 billion.
Only 3%?
Yeah, well.
That doesn't sound right.
That's what they're saying. It is the number one most requested gift in the United States for the last 13 years. Give me a gift card.
That doesn't sound right. That only 3% gets unused?
That sounds about right. It's still a maddening amount.
Well, I know it's a big amount, but I would think it's higher than that.
You think it's, yeah.
25%.
You really think it's that high? They say $100 billion spent on gift cards. And $100 billion could buy you 360 billion rolls of toilet paper. That's an odd way of phrasing it. Of the $100 billion we spend on gift cards, they project $3 billion will go unspent.
Five.
Number five.
Over the weekend, the family and I made a quick stop to the world's largest truck stop out in Walcott. Mm-hmm. And I have to confess, hadn't been there since the remodel. Have you been there since the remodel?
Yes.
It's incredible. I was legitimately blown away by the $10 million renovation that took place a couple of years ago, I guess. Here's the thing. I don't really go to the world's largest truck stop because I live here. There's no reason for me to stop there.
Sometimes I'll go just to pretend that I'm on the road. Because we're not very far from it. Out here on the perimeter. Sometimes
true.
I will go there for snacks.
Like from work you'll go?
Yes.
Oh, I could see doing that, because, yeah, we're not that far here where the studios are. It's true.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars.
But there are snacks if you'll drive to Walcott.
So I will pretend, because I'm not on vacation.
No.
I won't be going on vacation probably anytime soon. I won't be traveling.
Maybe ever.
I won't be traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll trick myself into thinking that, oh, look at me. I am on the road.
Well, it was something else.
Not unlike Jack Kerouac, here I am at the truck stop.
It doesn't end well for him. I don't know that you want to be like Jack Kerouac.
Did you pick up a scimitar while you were out there?
Oh, man, they had... the thing I want to go back for are the fish flip-flops. They're sandals, and it looks like you got a you're walking around with a couple of trout on your feet. I just couldn't pull the trigger when I was out there.
That's a very sophisticated look.
I think that might be my look for summer 2021, is walking around with plastic fish on my feet. I think that might be how I roll. But we were there. I was really impressed by how big it was and all the options they had.
Yeah,
the healthy food. They had an aisle there, Darren, in the DVD aisle. Japanese anime had its own aisle at a truck stop. It's like, what is going on here? This is fancy.
So what snacks did you end up with?
I just got a bottle of water.
Now, did you stop there on the way to Iowa City or on the way back?
On the way to Iowa City, we stopped.
On the way there.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there's no reason to fill up then, I guess.
When we got to the candy aisle at the world's largest truck stop, my 12-year-old grabbed my wife and said, these were his words, "This reaffirms my faith in humanity." And then he grabbed a couple bags of Skittles. I thought, really? This is what does it for you? But my larger point is this about Walcott and the world's largest truck stop. I don't go there because I live here, right? It wouldn't make sense for me to go there as often as...
Well, I understand that.
Right.
But it would make sense if you were to try to trick yourself into thinking...
I might start
you're
doing
on the road.
I might start doing that. I might.
Remember when we went out there for the buffet?
Yeah.
They had liver.
They did indeed.
Which I found to be quite fanciful. It's like the idea that you're serving up liver at a buffet.
That's right.
Cow liver at a buffet.
That's right.
Of course I had some.
And?
It was fine. But I just think it's a kind of a bold move.
It's like every time I see construction around the Quad Cities and it's another hotel, I think, really? Do we need another hotel? Well, obviously we do. These folks that build these hotels have made the investment because they've done the research and they know that they'll make money. I just don't have a use for a hotel here because, again, I live here. There's really no reason for me to stay at a hotel where I live.
And that isn't going to make as much sense as going to the world's largest truck stop because you're talking about getting a room and spending $75 to $100 when you could just stay at home. They don't charge you to go to the truck stop.
No. We have done that, though. Like, we have gone to the Hyatt there out in East Moline for a night just to see what it was like. I've done it. But it's not something where I think, well, that's something we need another one of. Of course we do. I'm not saying we don't. And the fact that people want to come here to visit is a good thing for all of us, right? That's good news. But when I see a hotel going up, I think, gosh, is that really what we needed? Okay, well, that'll work.
You were hoping it was going to be something else?
Yeah, something cool. Something that I would have a more regular use for, is what I'm saying. Now they're building hotels in outer space. The world's first space hotel will begin construction in low Earth orbit in 2025.
How would you like to work the front desk there?
At the space hotel?
Uh-huh.
Well, here's the thing. If there's a problem with your room, tough. What are you going to do? Leave? Go to the space hotel next door? I don't like the idea of a hotel in space because once you're there, you're not leaving until they come and get you. Space Hotel will have restaurants, cinemas, and room for up to 400 guests.
Well, that's the pitch anyway.
The Orbital Assembly Corporation says that the Voyager station, they're going to start building it in 4 years, and it'll be completely operational by the year 2027. This space hotel is now completely operational.
Just in time to pick up your legal weed in Virginia.
Yeah, we mentioned that on a podcast we did over the weekend. They legalized weed in Virginia, but it doesn't become legal until January 1st, 2024.
I've got good news and I've got bad news.
That seems like a long time to wait for the legal weed. Like when Illinois pulled the trigger, it was a couple of months. Right?
Yeah, did we wait a year?
I don't think it was quite a year, no. The Orbital Assembly Corporation is going to start construction on the Space Hotel again in 2025. So that's 4 years ago. It'll be a large circle, and it will rotate to generate artificial gravity that will be set at a similar level to the gravity you find on the surface of the moon.
Hello, I'm your space hotel bartender. Just passing through?
Uh-huh. Let me ask.
Double bubble.
How do you drink beer in that kind of gravity?
Would you like some warm cookies?
How do you eat anything? The Voyager Hotel will have many of the features you might expect on a cruise ship, including themed restaurants, a health spa, and a cinema. It will feature a series of pods attached to the outside of the rotating ring, and some of those pods could be sold to NASA for space research. How much will it cost to build the space station? No man can say. But the cost of spending a night, they say, it'll be expensive. They're not saying right now what it'll cost for a night, because, I mean, they don't want to guarantee a price now. Because who knows what $2027 will be.
Welcome to the Space Hotel Benihana. Is it just the two of you?
The Voyager-class space station will be made up of a series of rings with a number of modules attached to the outermost of the rings. There will be a gym, a kitchen, a restaurant, a bar, and other essential facilities for people due to the longer people that are on the station for a long term, they'll need to, you know, work some things out.
Don't forget to take advantage of the free continental breakfast.
Well, but okay, you're gonna eat a waffle in space. Can I put syrup on it?
Syrup in space would be the best.
It would be, because you'd be like floating around just chasing after it.
Huh?
I don't know about this. I don't. This does not sound like a good idea.
What about powdered sugar in space? Or,
well, how about just think of what you
cocaine.
Do. Think of the things that you do in like hotel rooms. Do you want that stuff floating around? Because that's not gonna. Right. You got to take that blue light to the entire space station now. I don't think that's a good idea. Well, they say again that they're going to start working on this in 4 years. And I mean, the concept art looks fantastic. But this also sounds to me like,
well, it's a lot easier to make
a massive
scale. It's a lot easier to make a drawing.
Well, they're like computer renderings, man.
Uh-huh. Still easier.
Right now, it costs $8,000 per kilogram to launch something into space. But now that they have the reusable Falcon 9 rocket, it's down to $2,000 per kilogram to send something up to space. So the materials you need to build a space station, it's not cheap to get
Falcon
it from...
Falcon is still in space? I thought we brought him down.
No, Falcon...
We did it for the show.
You guys said we did it for the show. No, this isn't Balloon Boy... This is the Falcon rocket that you can launch, and then it comes back down.
Yes, sir.
No.
We did this for the show.
Okay, well, now the whole thing is ruined.
That's what this country needs.
Have you seen this Falcon? It's the rocket that goes up like this, and then it comes down.
Yeah.
Like, you're just rewinding the tape, which is nuts.
When it doesn't blow up.
Well, sometimes that happens. There will be lounges, eventually... bars, concert venues, libraries, gyms, and a spa. Everything you'd see on a cruise ship. And you will cruise around the planet Earth every 90 minutes. I mean, this looks great. Check this out. They're playing basketball in the...
Talk about Space Jam!
They've got a trampoline in the gym... And this guy's 20 feet in the air going hard to the hoop. I think that's fantastic. While testing for the space station is complete, a robot called Star, that's Structure Truss Assembly Robot, that will build the frame for the Voyager while it's in orbit. So robots are going to build this space motel? I'm all about this. I'll never be able to go, but it sounds fantastic. They hope to have this again, start working on it up there in 4 years, and by the year 2027, people will be staying in hotels in space.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Whether or not you enjoyed today's podcast, I want you to know this, and this comes from the heart.
That's part of your sensibility.
We enjoyed it. We had fun. And isn't that really...
Maybe we're not your thing.
We're not for everybody. Although if you've taken the time to find this podcast, subscribe to it, download and listen to it, I mean, I hope we are. I hate to think people are listening to this that can't stand
us. I can't stand it.
I imagine that's possible, though, right?
Sure, it's possible.
I mean, people do listen to stuff they hate.
Absolutely, they do.
It never occurred to me. I just always thought that like-minded individuals were listening to the show. But it's possible people that detest us, you probably more than me, are listening to the podcast.
Dave, I've got thumbtacks in both my shoes.
Thanks so much
for
listening.
Do strange things.
To the Top 5 Things podcast brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan's open every day. Galesburg's open weekdays and Saturdays. The recreational waiting lists are available. And that is where you can reserve your time to make things nice and easy, nice and easy, nice and orderly. It's available at ntillinois.com.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I just
want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it!